Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today we're really getting into a massive work, Sir Richard Evans's The Pursuit of Power, Europe, 1815, 1914. It's just this incredible sweep of a century that, well, changed everything.
It really did, and it's what historians often call the long 19th century, right? Kicking off after Napoleon's final defeat, the whole Congress of Vienna thing in 1815, and running right up until the disaster of World War I in 1914. It's pivotal, truly.
The scope is just staggering. I mean, the book essentially asks, how did Europe go from this largely agrarian aristocratic setup to, well, to this global industrial urbanized powerhouse that was also dangerously unstable by the end?
And Evans's answer, his core argument, is that it was all driven by this relentless, multifaceted pursuit of power. And that wasn't just military power, you know, it was economic, social, political power, even cultural clout.
Which led to huge conflicts, both inside nations and between them.
Exactly. And understanding that, how progress and power seeking can spiral, feels incredibly relevant even now, doesn't it?
Definitely. So before we dive into the century itself, maybe a word about the author, Sir Richard J. Evans. He's a huge name in history circles.
Oh, absolutely. A really distinguished British historian. He held the Regius Professorship of History at Cambridge, which is, you know, a big deal.
And many people will know him from his Third Reich trilogy, just monumental work there.
Yeah, that trilogy really showed his skill in handling incredibly complex, vast, and frankly, harrowing historical periods with such clarity and depth.
So what makes his approach in this book, The Pursuit of Power, stand out?
I think it's his ability to synthesize. He doesn't just stick to the politics, the kings and ministers, although that's there. He weaves in the economic shifts, the social changes, the cultural currents.
And crucially, he brings in what he calls history from below, right?
Yes, exactly. That's key. He makes sure we hear from, or at least understand the experiences of, the ordinary people, the factory workers, the peasants moving to cities, women fighting for rights.
So it's not just about the big decisions made in palaces?
Not at all. It's about how those decisions impacted millions and how those millions, in turn, shaped history through their own struggles and aspirations. It makes the whole vast story feel much more human, much more real.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. Evans paints this picture of just revolutionary change happening faster and deeper than anything Europe had seen before.
Right. The central idea is that the forces unleashed earlier, you know, the ideas from the French Revolution, the power of the Industrial Revolution, they weren't just magically contained in 1815 when Napoleon lost.
The conservative powers certainly tried, didn't they? Metternich and his allies.
Oh, they tried desperately. The whole Congress of Vienna system was about putting the lid back on, restoring the old aristocratic order, hierarchy, stability, or what they saw as stability.
But you can't really uninvent ideas like liberty or nationalism, can you?
Well, that's the point. Evans argues it was basically futile. You had this unstoppable engine of industrialization churning away, populations booming, and all these powerful new ideas, liberalism, socialism, nationalism, spreading like wildfire.
So the book maps this huge transition.
Yeah, from farm to factory, essentially.
Right.
But also the rise of global capitalism, urbanization, class conflict, emancipation movements, even big shifts in thinking, like from romanticism towards Darwinism and scientific thinking.
Let's dig into some of that, starting with the political scene after 1815. You mentioned the conservatives trying to hold things down, the Concert of Europe.
Right, which sounds nice, but it was really an agreement between the monarchies, Austria, Prussia, Russia, initially Britain and France, too, to, well, suppress any liberal or nationalist movements that popped up.
Lots of censorship, secret police, trying to rewind the clock.
Pretty much. But clamping down like that often just builds pressure, doesn't it? And that pressure exploded in 1848.
Ah, the revolutions of 1848.
Yeah.
The springtime of the peoples. That sounds dramatic.
It was dramatic. Uprisings flared up across the continent. Paris, Berlin, Vienna, Budapest, Milan. People demanding constitutions, national unity, basic rights. It showed just how fragile that conservative order really was underneath.
And even though most were put down eventually.
They were a turning point. They shattered that post-1815 consensus. Mass politics was here to stay. And the old guard knew they couldn't just ignore it anymore. The genie was out.
Which led to a shift in tactics, didn't it? Towards something more pragmatic. real politics.
Exactly. Evans really highlights this move away from shared conservative principles towards, well, practical, often ruthless state interest. Forget ideology, it was about power and results.
And the master of this was Bismarck in Prussia.
Otto von Bismarck, absolutely. He basically used calculated diplomacy backed by military force, iron and blood, as he put it, fought three short, sharp wars, and boom, creates a unified German Empire in 1871.
Which completely throws the old European balance of power out the window.
Totally. Suddenly you have this massive, dynamic new power right in the center of Europe. A game changer.
And all this political maneuvering is happening against the backdrop of, or maybe fueled by, this incredible economic and social transformation. The Second Industrial Revolution.
Yeah, this is where the real muscle comes from. Coal, iron, steel, steam power. And the railway is maybe the perfect symbol, isn't it?
Absolutely. Shrinking distances, creating national markets, literally changing the landscape.
But also, as Evans points out, it's a double-edged sword. Fantastic for industry and travel, yes, but also enables states to project power, move armies faster, control territory more effectively.
Creates wealth, but also concentrates power.
Precisely. And it reshapes society itself. The rise of the bourgeoisie, the middle class, bankers, factory owners, lawyers, doctors, they become the dominant force culturally and often politically, pushing aside the old landed aristocracy.
With their own values, individualism, hard work, respectability.
Mm-hmm. But Evans forces us to look at the other side of that coin, too. The reality for the proletariat, the industrial working class.
Yeah, the conditions sound appalling. Crammed into these rapidly growing cities, terrible sanitation.
Unbelievably bad. You have cholera epidemics sweeping through slums while the wealthy live in, you know, relative comfort nearby. And Evans details the incredibly difficult, often dangerous, early struggles of workers just trying to form unions, demanding basic safety, decent wages, some dignity.
It's dark, but what I found really powerful in the book is how Evans shows that the pursuit of power wasn't just for the elites. He talks about the power of the powerless.
Yes, the emancipation movements. It's crucial. This century wasn't just about domination. It was also about liberation for huge groups of people.
Like the end of serfdom.
Absolutely massive, especially in Eastern Europe. Russia abolishing serfdom in 1861 that instantly changed the legal status of tens of millions of people. Just imagine, one of the biggest emancipations in history.
And also Jewish emancipation, gaining legal rights across much of Western and Central Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Though, as Evans notes, that was complicated.
Very complicated. Legal rights were granted, yes, but social prejudice, anti-Semitism often remained and could even intensify, as we saw later with things like the Dreyfus Affair in France. It shows legal equality doesn't automatically mean social acceptance.
A sobering point.
Yeah.
And this was also the era where early feminist movements began to stir, right?
Definitely. Women started challenging their subordinate legal and social positions more systematically, demanding access to education, pushing into professions, and beginning the long, hard fight for suffrage, for the right to vote, laying the groundwork for huge changes later on.
So Europe is transforming internally, power dynamics shifting everywhere, and then in the later part of the century, this energy turns outward.
Aggressively outward. This is the era of new imperialism, the scramble for colonies, particularly the incredibly rapid and violent colonization of Africa from the 1880s onwards.
What was driving that?
A potent mix, according to Evans. Economic motives, definitely need for resources, new markets, strategic rivalry between the European powers grabbing territory before someone else did.
And ideology played a role, too.
A really ugly role. Social Darwinism twisting Darwin's ideas and outright racist theories were used to justify dominating non-European peoples. The whole idea of a civilizing mission often masked brutal exploitation.
And this outward expansion, this flexing of global muscle, Evans argues it ultimately connects back to the continent's own downfall.
Yes, that's the tragic core of his conclusion. Europe's immense strength, its global reach, became entangled with its internal tensions and ultimately contributed to its weakness.
How so?
He shows how all these trends came together. The rigid system of military alliances that divided Europe into two camps, the Triple Alliance and the Triple Entente, the massive arms race, especially the naval race between Britain and Germany, and this increasingly aggressive jingoistic nationalism.
He created a powder keg.
Exactly. A system so interconnected and yet so rigid, so primed for conflict, that when a crisis hit like the assassination in Sarajevo in 1914, it almost inevitably dragged the whole continent into war.
The pursuit of security through power led to total insecurity. It's a profound irony.
It really is. Which brings us neatly to some of the key themes Evans hammers home. First, just how multifaceted that pursuit of power was.
Right. Not just armies. It was economic power.
Yeah.
Capitalists seeking market dominance. Social power. The middle class challenging the aristocracy. And power sought by the powerless, those emancipation movements we talked about.
Evans connects all these threads brilliantly, showing they're all part of the same fundamental dynamic of the century.
And you can see echoes today, can't you? Power isn't just political or military. It's technological dominance, cultural influence.
Absolutely. Another huge theme is how nationalism changed. It started often as a liberal idea connected to freedom and self-determination for oppressed peoples.
Like the Greeks seeking independence early on, or the Italians unifying.
Yeah. But by the end of the century, it had often morphed into something much more aggressive. State-sponsored, chauvinistic, used to justify military buildups and excluding others.
That's a really crucial historical shift to understand, especially when we look at populist or exclusionary politics today. That framework is still relevant.
Frighteningly so. And maybe a third theme is progress itself being a double-edged sword.
What do you mean?
Well, the century saw incredible advances. Science, technology, economic growth, expanded freedoms for many, amazing progress. But those very same forces created new problems. Massive inequality, new forms of exploitation, new tools for state control, and ultimately, the capacity for warfare on an unimaginable scale.
So innovation always creates winners and losers.
And new dangers. It underlines the need for, you know, careful social and political management alongside technological or economic change, something we're still grappling with today with things like AI, automation.
That's a great point. Evans's writing is dense, but there are some core ideas that really stick, like the one about technology. Something like, technology didn't just serve politics, it reshaped political possibilities.
Yeah, that's a powerful insight. Think about the telegraph or the railway again. They weren't just convenient gadgets. They fundamentally changed how fast information could travel, how quickly governments could respond to events, how effectively they could control vast territories.
So they actually enabled the creation of modern centralized nation states in a way that wasn't possible before.
Exactly. They changed the very nature of state power.
And then there's that central paradox we touched on. The irony of the 19th century was that the pursuit of security through power ultimately created the conditions for unprecedented insecurity.
That just sums it up perfectly, doesn't it? All those alliances, all those battleships, all that military planning meant to make everyone feel safe actually created this intricate trap that guaranteed a massive war once the trigger was pulled. A tragic lesson.
So thinking about listeners today, how can we apply insights from a book about 19th century Europe?
Well, one obvious parallel is navigating technological disruption. Evans shows societies struggling with a massive upheaval of industrialization, jobs disappearing, cities exploding, social norms changing.
Sounds familiar, right? With automation, AI, the digital revolution.
It really does. His work suggests that successfully managing these shifts requires more than just adopting the new tech. It needs real thought about social consequences, political adjustments, managing the human cost.
And the other big application seems to be a warning about great power rivalry.
Definitely. The slide into World War I, driven by that toxic mix of arms races, rigid alliances, and nationalism, is just a timeless, chilling reminder of how quickly international competition can escalate into catastrophe if diplomacy fails and national egos aren't checked.
A lesson we seem to need reminding of periodically, unfortunately.
Sadly, yes.
So, as we wrap up, what's your final takeaway? What really stays with you from Evans' account?
For me, it's the reminder that power is never a fixed thing. It's always shifting. It's relational. And while the drive for power can fuel amazing innovation and liberation, as it did in the 19th century, it's also inherently dangerous. It creates instability. Evans really makes you appreciate the need to be constantly aware of the unintended consequences of pursuing power.
That's powerful. I think what struck me most, maybe surprisingly, was just the sheer interconnectedness of it all. Evans makes you see how, say, a worker striking for better wages in Manchester, or a woman demanding the right to study at a university in Zurich, how those struggles were part of the exact same historical forces shaping treaties between emperors in Berlin or Vienna.
It all ties together.
Yeah. You really feel like you're witnessing the forging of the modern world with all its potential and all its perils right there in that century between 1815 and 1914. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Contra Foundation.